This is Mark Twain Speaks. Kindly listen as Mark Twain performer Don McNeil brings the wit and wisdom of America's favorite humorist to life. Everyone is welcome, and cigar smoking is encouraged.
It's done. It can't be redone. Or perhaps I should say, undone. I have revealed that Susie was my favorite child. Olivia always pleaded with me not to show favoritism toward one child or another. But I have revealed how I feel. Can feelings, if genuine, if come by honestly, be good or bad? Can they not be feelings and stand on their own? It's also my belief that Susie is the only child who loved me as much as she loved her mother. Jean and Clara love their mother more than they love me. The children love their mother more than anybody or anything. And that includes me. I accepted that, knowing that nothing could change it. Sorry if I have belabored that point. It has come to my attention that many of you are performing multiple tasks while listening to me. I'm told that you are listening while driving an automobile. In fact, some of you are listening, driving, and eating all at the same time. I read that a lady driver had a cup of coffee between her legs while driving. The coffee spilled, burning her legs. She sued the restaurant and became wealthy. This supports my belief that we have entirely too many lawyers in this country. This is a real concern. What if a driver becomes distracted by my blathering? They become agitated and drive off the road. Even more likely, they will drop off to sleep listening to me and have an accident. Somewhere, there is a lawyer who would blame me and take me to court. Let me, with respect, ask you to do no more than three activities at once, perhaps driving, listening, and eating would be reasonable. Please don't cradle hot coffee between your legs as a bonus activity. Thanks in advance for your kind consideration in this matter. I can't afford to get sued. Just because I know Andrew Carnegie, that doesn't make me rich. I wonder what it would be like to be that rich. He seems to enjoy himself the most when I insult him in public. He must tire of having everyone kissing his purse, hoping for a handout. In the pre-income tax era, Carnegie made $23 million in 1 year. I repeat, with no taxes. Now he is forced to bribe congressmen to pass laws shielding him from paying taxes. These so-called servants of the people come running when Mr. Carnegie calls. They are assured re-election if Mr. Moneybags approves of them. Without Carnegie's approval, they are forced out of office and become ex-criminals. I prefer when congressmen serve for life. If we can keep them isolated in Washington, they can do less damage in their home states. I must say, unlike most titans of industry, Mr. Carnegie hates talking about business. If you inquire into his monopoly of the steel industry, he has no interest in discussing that. He loves to talk about his philanthropic pursuits. Carnegie loved seeing his name associated with good deeds. Carnegie loves to build libraries. He wants to build hundreds of them with millions of books. What does he ask in return? He wants his name on the building. In fact, it must be there. I see nothing wrong with that. I have requested that my books be displayed prominently. I have also asked portraits of myself be displayed with proper lighting above each of these portraits. All library cards should have a flattering picture of me. That would ensure that every wallet and every purse would carry my likeness. I hope I'm not asking too much of my friendship with Mr. Carnegie. I often make fun of Carnegie's golf game. He believes that because golf was invented in Scotland, that makes him a competent golfer. Who would dare to poke fun at his golf game? He owns the course on his 32,000-acre estate in Scotland. All the employees work for him. They can be excused for lying about his golf scores. If he paid me, I would lie also. A monthly supply of Cuban cigars would certainly do the trick. I was once invited to Carnegie's home. He is most proud of his trophy room. He has hundreds of plaques given to him by schools, hospitals, civic organizations from everywhere. He doesn't seem to mind that all these were awarded to him after he gave huge donations. Each plaque represents a large fortune. What a fool I am. For the cost of a $10 plaque, I might have squeezed a bag of cash from Mr. Carnegie myself. He is a deeply religious man. I don't question his faith. However, I must say that if anyone can pave his path into heaven, Mr. Carnegie will show the way. He has offered to send a Bible to anyone who sends him a postcard requesting one. I told him that I already have a Bible. May I please have the 50 cents? Mr. Carnegie laughed out loud when I made that comment at a recent dinner event. I know what you are wondering. No, I did not get the 50 cents.